You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap?
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. We have a wonderful week here in Arizona with our definitely storms and rains and lots of water, lots of good things happening, lots of things growing. And I want tonight to actually say to my co-host who covered our show last week, fantastic, and thank you very much for covering when I can't be here. Our book is Mindfulness. And as we look at this, and Tessa Watt actually has given us a straight pathway to awakening the inner path that we all can pursue to health, wealth, and happiness. My co-host joined me this week to actually help you understand more than what you're just reading. We hope that our commentaries and our additional experiences help you get a bigger, much bigger picture than just reading the book. But we do suggest that all of you definitely want to get this book and let it become one that stays a favorite place on your bookshelf, because it will always have answers. And during times when mind gets a little bit cloudy, it actually does bring back a stronger reality and outcome. So we welcome with us Mike Dallaire from Montreal, Canada, Rosemarie Heyer from, are you really in Frankfurt, Marie? Rosemarie, are you in a suburb?
I'm about 30 minutes away from Frankfurt.
Thank you very much. And we also have Geraldine Dalby Ball, who's actually in Sydney, Australia, in the Down Under, and a friend of all of us, Marianne Love, who's in Melbourne, Australia. We have Joyce Mullenhauer, who is actually in Kingman, Arizona, with me at this moment. And we have Trina Cooper, who is in Denver, Colorado. I think the same thing is with you, Trina. You're not really in the heart of Denver. You're in one of the outlying places around there. Right now, here in our country, should you be listening from far away, we're enjoying some weather that's bringing rain and actually new life and growth. So we welcome you into that environment for this next hour. When we talk about mindfulness, okay, I've asked when I go around and I do some interviews and stuff, I ask a lot of people, I'm curious. So I'll just walk up to people and start asking questions. And usually they're very open and friendly with it. But I asked them what they might think mindfulness means. And a lot of them was spot on. You know, I mean, I was really surprised at how many actually had a very solid conception of what that is. And they said, when you are focused and when you are clear as to what you need to think about, what you need to do. Now, that's pretty cool. Some of them gave other kind of wording to it, but pretty much the same meaning. And when we look at this, you know, this book is not easy for us on this show, because usually we discuss things around our own particular outcome of the reading and maybe sometimes some experience with it. But mindfulness is something we all need. And I've already wore out one of these books, and I'm on my third book. And at this point, it's like you go back to it and you do some of the practices that are in it, and that practice actually brings you back to focus. Working your way through the book, page by page, practice by practice, actually begins to create a pathway. And so the neurons of your brain actually begin to link and broaden the perspective of what the book actually gives you, because then it adds your own ability of intuition and the other outstanding perceptions you have. And when it does, when you do that, and you get through the book once, I actually ask the students that I work with this book, do the book through page by page, practice by practice, at least 5 times. And then the mind is cultivated. And then go back to the ones that you felt successful with as you read the book, and see how often you can actually go back to that practice to heighten an awareness or actually definitely ensure an outcome. And I do that all the time. I do that. I've got the practices memorized. I love the one that we're going to talk about tonight, is taking my shoes off and actually allowing myself to be right close to the surface of the earth or a floor or a carpet or wherever I may be. The soon as my feet touch that, the practice pops up in my brain. And then I will go through the whole step-by-step practice. And when I'm through with that, I am amazed at how much volume of information or how right on I am to the circumstances of the moment. And for me, that's a lot, because usually I'm in a situation where there's intense situations going on and a lot of confusion or anger or whatever. And it just brings me right to the perfect place in it. So I really hope that you're taking time to read the book and to do the practices. And I'm saying that to my co-hosts as well. This is not something that you have already accomplished. I don't care how accomplished you are. You need it. You need a tool to bring you out of your own madness from time to time. So right now I would like to actually call upon a guest I invited to attend us tonight. And Deb, I don't see you on my screen, but I guess you're here because I can hear you right about. Okay. So I would ask you to please share your experience and tell us at what point you have read the book and where you are with it now.
Absolutely. And I'm starting on the page with feet, as you mentioned. And what the author does is talks about the comparison between, are we always in our thoughts? We're up in the heads, we're up in the clouds, or are we grounded, which means our feet are firmly on the ground. And that's actually the foundation of every mindfulness practice. If you're sitting, you can focus on your feet and focus on how your buttocks is touching the chair. So it's being an awareness. And the exercise she gave us, I had a lot of fun with, because she has us standing up, okay, and then upright and feeling every part of your foot against the ground. Now you're going to take your shoes off, of course. So at first, I found myself focusing on my heels, and I found myself kind of digging my heels in to feel the ground, or digging my toes in. And it's like, that's not it. It's not about causing pressure at that point. It's about being aware, focusing, and how does it feel to touch the ground with that part of the foot? So that gave me an awareness of what is really focus, okay? And then another part of the exercise was kind of shift our weight a little bit, slightly left, slightly right, and then find a middle point. Well, again, when I stand up straight, I'm like this. I'm like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, constant motion, left and right. I'm sure my friends just want to say, grab me and plant. And so, again, it brought me to an awareness of being able to bring my head, you know, my thoughts, my awareness and focus out of my thoughts. And as she says, actually bring them down into that focus of that connection with the ground. And then the third part of that was actually just spending a few minutes just feeling the feet on the connection on the ground and just being aware. So I got a really great example of the difference between awareness and focus and trying to force something and just being there. And actually the author uses this several times a day, and I'm certainly going to just bring me back into focus.
All right. How, when you looked at this, Deb, how many times after experiencing that, like, does anything come up as to when you would use this? When would be opportune for you to do this? And you know, explain maybe a circumstance that you feel this would be a way to get a better in touch with that.
Well, sure. I think that just grounding, that idea of grounding ourselves, you know, when I realize my thoughts are running crazy and I'm all over the place, it's just touching, just taking a moment mindfully, touching the earth, taking the shoes off and reconnecting with the earth, literally, and taking that moment to refocus my energy.
Yeah, energy is the word I was looking for. I feel energized. It's like I will immediately seek grass and soil when I realize my body is at pretty much the most level it needs. Okay. And so I'll go out and do that. Sometimes when I'm in hotels and can't, I mean, everything is cement, I'll actually take my shoes off and my socks and stuff and walk on the tile, because it's a different kind of tiles have vibrations too. So especially if I can find marble and some of the other ingredients, the other materials. And so, but I find it always charging. And so energy, definitely you energize with that. And that, and anytime you should want just a little bit more energy or even a lot of energy, I would think that this would be a suggested exercise and practice. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. Okay. And then now let's go to Mike Dillard. And hello, Michael. I haven't talked to you for a while. It's good to see you. Okay.
So, good.
Hope things are going well in Montreal. I hear you guys are still under the COVID effect, so it's good to at least see you on Zoom. Technology is wonderful in this day and age, right? We can at least visit. So, Mike, you want to cover the mindfulness of walking?
Yeah, I mean, it's an obvious move from standing to walking. And the beauty about this walking meditation that we're going to discuss here, it has the advantage that you can do it anywhere, anytime, and you don't have to take time out of your day to do it because you're already walking during your day. Well, all you're going to do is do it mindfully. And just to give you an idea how this works and walks you through how the process of mindful walking, you start off where Deb left us off, okay? Being standing, grounded, feeling totally the ground, feeling the earth beneath your feet. Now, the next step, though, is you start to slowly transfer your weight, let's say, onto your right foot. So you haven't, or let's say, transfer it to the left. So you're transferring to the left, you're taking weight off your right foot. You haven't lifted it, you're just taking the weight off. How does that feel? What are the sensations? Mindfully get in touch with all that. Then as you do, lift your foot up in the air, feel the foot in the air. As you move it forward, feel the air moving past your feet. Feel your heel touching the ground. Feel your whole foot touch the ground, and then the reverse, the transfer of weight onto it. And all along that, what are you doing? You're feeling not only your weight on your right leg coming off and going back on, but you're feeling the left leg do the opposite. So you mindfully get in touch with all of the different sensations that are happening as you move through this walking. And try to do it, they suggest, in kind of a secluded place when you first start, because you might want to do this slowly so you get in touch with it. And that might look a little weird if you're in the main street of the town you're in. So start off slowly when you get it. Okay, the next step, obviously, is to start mindfully walking. So as you go from point A to point B, start putting this together. She suggests you keep your head down a little bit at the beginning so that as you do this, you're able to keep your focus, ground yourself first, and then transfer right, left as you walk, feeling the sensations all through your body as you do this. And as you do this, what's going to happen is you're going to get awareness back. You focus. You're bringing the focus into your out of your head and into your feet. And so instead of getting wrapped up as you go from one meeting to the other, mindfully walk from one to the other, and you're brand new, full of life, and totally energized, as grandmother says, when you get to the second meeting.
It's wonderful, fantastic. I go in whenever I can. I do get a body hard, you know, the hard Rolfing kind of work on my body. And I do a lot of thicker body works through physical body. I guess it's called physical therapy as well. But anyway, the way I stay toned and actually get rid of some of the toxic levels of emotions and stuff is through these workouts. And I was amazed when I was at the, you know, particular facility, and I watched this woman doing this. And when I got up off of my couch, I asked her, I said, "So have you read mindfulness?" And she looked at me and frowned. She says, "No." And I says, "Well, where did you learn that?" And she says to me, "They teach it here. The therapists have us doing that, especially those of us who have numbness from diabetes in our feet." Isn't that cool? I mean, it's right there. Whatever the many things are to be mindful of, this one actually has a healing quality and result to it. So it's fantastic. Thank you. And you shared that very clearly, Mike. And we have Marianne Love over there in Melbourne, Australia. Marianne, are you there?
I am here. Good to see you and hear you.
And it's called reaching. What you're discussing is called reaching. And there you are, way down there.
Yeah, I'm reaching and reaching out to all of you because this is a really, really interesting topic and all of us go through this. And what she describes here is three really important things that happen, which is the fact that we're always reacting to everything that's going on around us. And we're either reacting with what she's calling attachment, like we're liking things or we're craving things. We want to hold on to things. And I didn't really consider attachment liking things before this. I thought it was just like grasping and holding, but it's actually just liking and finding things pleasant is attachment. And the other reaction we're constantly having is aversion. It's like disliking, pushing away and avoiding unpleasant things. And then the third one is just plain indifference. And so basically that's happening all the time for all of us. We just in one of those three states. So mindfulness helps us actually get off that automatic pilot and start to observe and know our reactions and fully experience our life and get conscious. And that allows us to then, I guess, change our reactions and change our experience. Once we've lived it more fully, we can actually freshly experience it in a new moment and get off that automatic pilot. So she's given us a really good practice here to do, which is, you can do wherever you are, basically. And you just take a few moments to look around and just scan your surroundings like a camera might and just notice all the objects, the people, the shapes and the colors, the textures, the light and all the different shades. And you simply notice your reactions as you look around right now. Notice there'll be some things you're attracted to, some things you find unpleasant and you want to avoid, some things you're just plain indifferent to. And so you can do that just to start to bring that conscious awareness. And I know when I did that, even just, moments ago in preparation just for wanting to speak to you here, I just noticed the room I'm in, I had ignored the fact that there are a whole lot of things in this room I actually don't like, like even the fact the cupboard's open so I can see everything in it. And I noticed my reaction to that is like, oh, I don't want to be looking at that, And it's actually challenging once you start to see everything, then you want to fix it, and it's sort of like getting out of the indifference is there's quite a lot then to do to start cleaning up, in the moment, because you just want to naturally get towards a pleasant experience. So that's what I noticed when I did that, which I think is really powerful for all of us, because there's a whole lot of things that would be really helpful. And I noticed, working with you, grandmother, it's like everything's in its place. And I think that's mindfulness, when we walk into your environment and you just feel the beauty all around you, that's because mindfulness was here. It was thought about and that we can all do that. Like we can all do that. It's available to each of us to do that.
And it helps us not clutter, doesn't it? Don't you think like if you're sitting in the work area that you work in, everything in that environment needs to complement you or it will tire you. See, when we're looking at mindfulness, we're talking about energy levels, definitely energy, okay? And when we have things that's an eyesore or something that doesn't fit where you want, how you see it, you are actually tiring yourself and stressing yourself. So we want to always be aware of what's around us and the intention of it. Like as you spoke about coming into my space, everything in my space is actually positioned in order to be very, very strict with feng shui placement of things, and that everything has a purpose and a message. I have wonderful things in my home that beautiful people that I love, like most dearly, have given me, and they're with me every day when I walk through my home and see the window that they've left in my life. So every day my life is filled with loving friends in that. So when you look at that, you need to walk around and ask yourself, well, why is that desk there? And what does that picture really mean, you know, and get aware of that. So this exercise is real good with that. In fact, I've asked Marianne to actually join us, another Marianne. I can't even say your last name at this point, forgive me. But Marianne's actually going to share things you dislike and actually share her experience with that. So Marianne, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Say your last name was Van Diesel. I was just watching the show. There's a new movie with Dan Van Diesel in it. I was getting ready to say Marianne Van Diesel.
Van Hasselt. And I totally understand. I went to school for 12 years and they finally spelled my name right on my diploma. So it was interesting even being asked to come on today. This next section is looking at things that you dislike. So becoming more aware of your experiences and how is your body reacting? So we have, like you said, the aversion, the likes, the dislikes, but becoming more aware of those effects in your life. So that's this next practice. And looking at what are the thoughts that are going through your head when you have an experience that you dislike? What are the emotions that you're feeling? And how is your body reacting? So how is this dislike draining your energy, affecting your body? So just even for those of you who know me, that I like, you know, I'll talk to just about anybody, anywhere, about anything. And I said, okay, I'll come on the show. And then I started getting nervous and going through all the reactions and like, oh my God, is this going to work? Is that going to work? What about this? Am I prepared? And you know, the tension between the back of the neck, between my shoulder blades, it's like, and you know, then it makes things go numb and it's like, oh no. And just going through all of that. And then contrasting, I had written down how I had an experience with my car the other day. And the car, I was driving home and all of a sudden on the freeway, the car started losing power. And it's like, okay, where's this coming from? This is an unpleasant experience. And pulling over and going through the thoughts, okay, is it overheating? What's going on? You know, could anything catch fire? You know, just all these thoughts that went through my head and emotions about that. But since I've, what this is pointing out to me is that if you have experience with these things and you say, okay, I've run through this kind of a situation before, I can de-escalate my emotions. I can de-escalate any panic. I can look at all of these things and be more aware. It's like, okay, let's just look at things a little more calmly. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing and good things can happen. So just this practice teaches you to become more aware of how you're reacting to things and how a greater experience and awareness of that and its effects on your body to distance it and calm it down so that you can be open to new experiences coming in. And as I'm sitting there, you know, getting ready, okay, I can handle this. You get on the phone. Yes, I've got service. I can call a tow truck and, you know, whatever's needed, I can call something. I got a startled because somebody knocked on my window and someone had driven past and saw that my hood was up and they went and they bought me a thing of water. They bought me a thing of Powerade and they were delivering me Powerade and gave me a ride home. So, you know, it, totally, totally different. And, you know, it's like, how do you react? So it's a very good practice, becoming more aware of how are you reacting to unpleasant things so you can shift and allow pleasant things to come in.
Wonderful how you shared. Very, almost a miracle you attracted at that one, right? I think that's really worth everybody's attempt to try. Very good. Thank you very much, Marianne. Van Hensel. Okay. All right. So we have Trina. And Trina's in Denver, Colorado, or close about there somewhere. And
Trina, I am.
There you are.
So hi.
I'm going to talk about things you ignore, okay?
Yes. There's a couple things I'd like to talk about tonight. One is this third point about things that you ignore, that you're indifferent to. And I think everybody probably has had that experience where something has happened and they might glance up and then just go right back to what they're looking at and paying attention. And you especially see that with children anymore when they get on their video games or something, just trying to get them to actually focus in the here and now. And the one thing that it does is it doesn't allow us, when we ignore things, it doesn't allow us to get the full experience of what's going on. So it might be that it's not interesting to you, and it might be that it's you're just not noticing because your head's into something else. But truly, when we begin to notice things around us, and this is one of the gifts of mindfulness, when we begin to notice what's around us, our life becomes so much richer and so much full of experience. And we don't switch off from the present. We actually go and experience the here and now. So one of the things I love is when my grandkids are playing with stuff like that. And I'm like, they just put me on ignore. They totally just put me on ignore. So it's something we need to become aware of. And even though it's not as predominant, it definitely has a place in this world in the reactions of what we have. Second thing I wanted to talk about was reacting versus responding. And this is really important because reacting is really coming from habitual patterns that we have, programming that we have, where we are not in control of what we're doing. All of a sudden, something happens and we just bam, you know, we respond. We don't respond, we just react to it. Some of them can be really subtle, some can be dynamic. Some of it is just, you know, you may run away, you may panic, you could freeze, you could get hurt feelings, tighten up, not talk to people. There's all kinds of ways that we react to situations. And so the question really is, how do you react? So you need to take a little bit of time to really pay attention to the body signals and the things that you do and explore the reactions and actually turn toward them. And when you turn toward them, you give yourself a space, no judgment. You just want that space to take a breath. Remember, they used to say the old sayings like take a breath or count to three, that gave you that space in order to respond and respond mindfully instead of reacting, because it's so much more powerful. So just to summarize this chapter, we react in three ways. We like, we dislike, or we ignore. We can tap into our body sensations to become aware of our reactions, makes us so much more powerful. And instead of avoiding difficult sensations, really feel them, take them in, and create a space so that you can respond powerfully.
All right. Thank you very much. Very clear. The actual thing that I practice very much my reaction to things. And I feel I've come to a very good place in it that I can stay calm. I mean, unless there's some real horrendous heavy duty danger going on, I do get a bit riled up with that. But I mean, I can actually stand my own and stay calm with that. And it is a beautiful, beautiful practice and a chance for you to get in touch with yourself. And basically asking that, I ask myself often, If I find that I am having those anxieties, I ask myself, what's talking, what's communicating, where am I getting this from? You know what I mean? And it's surprising how we've stored these things in our body. You know what I mean? We've stored them in our body and we carry them with us until we do something like this to actually become aware and change. And I appreciate you've made that very clear. It's very good. Okay, so let's go on and actually pick up here with Joyce Mollenhauer, who's in Arizona, and reacting to sound and making sure that your co-hosts know that we're looking for experience and your own individual perception of what you're covering in topic. So Joyce.
Yes, I sure am. And I had fun with this one because I've heard you speak of in the Arctic, silence is deafening. So sound varies. I am people with music. I love it when I am with a group of people and I find that music preferences vary. Someone will judge one type of music, another person will love it. So all this is a reaction too soon. So I did my little exercise today, sitting outdoors, and I could hear the thunder in the distance. And it was interesting that I actually was aware and kind of focused on the pauses between the thunder. But then to be really totally aware, I wouldn't be trying to interpret that, but I was. I was interpreting it, wondering when the thunder was going to start again and when there might be lightning. But there were gaps in the sound. And I hadn't really ever, when I'm listening to anything, looked at the fact of space relating to sound. So this was something new for me to explore, that when I'm listening to something, it's actually occurring in space and that there is space between the sounds. So I found that extremely interesting. So in a quiet setting, I happen to be blessed with living in a backyard that sometimes is totally silent. So when it is totally silent, sometimes without the sound there, then in my mind, I find myself creating sound. So I just am starting to recognize that to just be means that you don't have to be interpreting. You don't have to be judging. You can just experience. And as they say over and over again in this book, do it gently. This does not have to be abrupt in any kind of rigid way. So I appreciate that. And I see that they offer a huge smorgasbord of explorations so that we can become very mindful people.
Very, very good. And I'm hoping to see that some of the co-hosts actually come back with greater stories of experiencing this, because like I said, the only reality to the wisdom of this book is experiencing it so that you can talk the experience. And then we have wisdom. Otherwise, we just have talk. Okay, so when we look at awareness, then we need to become more aware, and I'd like my co-host to give feedback on this on your own experience. We need to be aware when we're in the zone. We need to be aware when we have actually been able to put ourselves into the perspective of what we're getting ready to broadcast and project. And then we have automatically have a personality, a part of our personality that begins to show itself. And that's basically what comes across when we're talking to people, even when we're walking. I've actually used this with students and seen the wonderfulness. Like, first we'll find out what their particular astrology, particular numerology stuff offers as to what the inner being of who they are. And then in reading this and working with the mindfulness, we first do lots of these practices, getting us in touch with our body, the emotions, and all this other stuff, okay? We do probably about 2 hours of that. And then it's a matter of projection. Stand up, knowing that you've accepted what you've learned of yourself, maybe not being presently, but at least you know that these are your attributes. Now, without saying anything, posture yourself and walk it so that as you're walking, you don't need words to say what it is that you're actually thinking and broadcasting. And the wonderful results on it, usually it takes about two run-throughs. But the first one being kind of, well, is this right now? You know, am I doing this? Kind of the question time comes. But then the second run, people actually walk differently. And we took movies, okay? We took videos so that they could see themselves the first walkthrough and then the second walkthrough. And then we took a third video to where they could see themselves. And when they actually told us, you know, they gave us a letter on what they were going to think on the second run and where their mind was and where their broadcast was on the third letter. Every one of us, when we wrote down our own particular regards to the subject and everything, every one of us could actually be right on with what they were doing and emanating. So it's like when you come into mindfulness, you begin to know yourself. You begin to get in touch with yourself. You don't just run the automatic pilot, because all of us are in denial on one thing or another, or a lot of things. Okay. And when we get into that automatic thing, we really don't see ourselves anymore. And usually if there are any flaws that we have found and made of ourselves, those are the focus of what we're emanating all the time. So with mindfulness, we begin to resolve the focus that we make of ourselves. And then we learn how to relax in this and be mindful in what we want to project. And then once we bring our thoughts to that and put it all in order, and what we accept, what we are actually excited to find out about ourselves in the numerology and the astrology and the characterizations. We want people to feel that. And people walk different. They place their feet different. They hold their shoulders in a different place. Some people who are very uptight, we watched how they actually relax their shoulders and their back. So all of that is part of what mindfulness can give us. And you can change you can change every part of your day with it. There, every practice that's in this book, I actually have it on automatic anymore, that I find myself doing these things throughout the day and being mindful of the fact that I am doing them. And that'd be the most excitement I have about this book. I have become what those particular practices give me and allow me. I do not do all of them. I'm not going to tell you that I do not. I found the ones that work the best for me. But it puts me on awareness of everything. And awareness of your environment is your power. Your awareness and ability to focus on what you want and exactly how you want things to come out only can happen when you have mastered mindfulness. When you can focus and you can feel it and you can actually see the reality of it, it will manifest. And if you're doing anything else, I don't care where it is. I've read the sciences. I've done the psychology, the mind research. You do not do it and you will not create it unless you have become mindful of yourself and how different things affect. And then you begin to realize your world is a canvas. Pick beautiful colors and a fantastic brush and let it go. And that is the importance of this book. This is the importance of these practices. Yeah, you can say you don't have time and shun it. Or maybe you can even say you don't feel it's important enough. Whatever that is, that's your world. But when you look around you, you'll find that's the world that you have created. And it didn't and is not giving you happiness. So begin to look at what's going to take to change. And this can be fun. When I do this with young people and I see the adults get pretty serious, I bring fun into it and we do some clowning around and stuff. But most of the time when I see somebody just real serious about it, I have the room just start laughing. And then eventually they start laughing and going into hysterics. Okay. And then everybody is just exhausted and sits down for a while. And then I ask them, what were you aware of at this time? And everybody's aware that they start out artificially laughing. But at a point, looking at each other laughing, there's all of a sudden that the laughter takes off and it's naturally you're just laughing because of the laughing. And those awareness are effects, beloved. And we live in a field of cause and effect. And you want to have control of how it is in your effects. Okay. So co-hosts, any of you have some experiences or any particular outcome or reaction to the book?
I'll share something.
Go ahead.
As I've been going through this book, what have been finding doing all of these mindfulness practices for me personally is it's almost like a deja vu. It's like I started doing these about 6 months ago for different reasons. And I started doing the whole reacting thing because I was trying to get in touch with judgment. And I thought, okay, well, I'm judging, so I'm reacting. So about 6 months ago, I was worried about judgment and then now we talk about reacting. A little while ago, I was finding myself being very mindful of how I walk because I was really trying to cure some things, you know, or change my posture, make things stand better. So I was very mindful about my toes and my feet. And then now I read this part of the book. And it's like, I just feel like everything is just all coming together as we read this book. And it's very, very kind of cool for me because what I'm finding happening is that what someone was talking about, we were talking about thinking and you know, whether you're in your head or you're actually thinking it or you're actually feeling it. When I did the exercise for the breathing, I've been doing this exercise for years. I think this is the first time I really focused on feeling the air and not thinking about myself breathing. And it was just like, wow, this is like a different kind of connection. And then I wrote on a piece of paper here what I wanted to say. And the last thing I wrote was the more you do this practice, the more you increase your awareness. And then you started talking about awareness right before I wrote that. So it's like, okay, I give up. I mean, it's just all happening all together, all from different sides. So it's amazing to me, and I'm having fun.
And it begins to fit. Everything begins to fit. You realize how that oneness is that we talk about is real. You know what I mean? It's really, really good with that. So Geraldine, did you have any particular thoughts that you would like to share on that?
Yes. Yes. A key thing is the noticing now how things are different, in particular sound. Like Sydney's in a lockdown due to the COVID requirements. And usually at this time of day, I would hear the primary school, the bell goes, I hear the children, the laughter. And because that wasn't a sound, I needed to be consciously aware of saying, oh, that's the school, because I've heard it for so many years. Right now, it's like, why is it so quiet? So there's the sounds that I realize make up our pattern of our life, like someone's perfume might make up a pattern of our life. And the awareness can sometimes be the awareness of something changing. And I realized I could feel a loss from that. I could feel like literally there's something missing. And in this case, I don't like that school's not allowed to go in. But in other parts of life, I've looked at that as well and gone, okay, if something's changed and I'm now mindful of it, sometimes it's not bad that something's gone. So that was a key thing about the mindfulness, is noticing not only what's here internally, sound, sight, and that also that it's noticing what's not there, and that's okay too.
Yeah, it does. Have you had some experiences to where that has become prominently your awareness?
Yes, one of the key things was I was brought up just being role modeled that it's really important to look at money. This can of beans is this much, that can of beans is this much, and then choosing the cheaper one. Not that there was really a poverty, but that was a way that I observed. And I realized quite recently that I don't shop like that for normal things. And I realized it when my daughter said to me, I've got to make a budget because she's now moved out of home. And I realized that I hadn't role modeled that to her. So that was a noticing in the shop where I just went, I'll have that. And someone said, well, how much did it cost? And I don't know. I didn't look. So that was like, it was different. So, yeah.
We catch our little stuff, you know. It's like, I consider myself very kind. I mean, I work and have come to where I can almost accept anything. Things I used to think were horrible or whatever, I've gotten over myself. I've learned to look at things about, you know, circumstances around other people's lives that would view what I'm viewing differently. And like Michael said, judgments, okay? And what I find about that anymore is I don't find it something that I judge as bad. I find it different, and I'm finding, and I don't know where this comes from, I find humor in it, because I compare it to how severe I was being about it, okay, and how natural and casual it was to them, and I just find the difference funny anymore, you know, not sarcastically in a sour way, but in a very happy, cute way, you know. And it just, when you begin to catch yourself and realize this is who you are, okay, and this is the way you want to live, and then you get the reality of that. No, that isn't the way you are, and you're really over here doing this, you know, trying to say it's this way. And you just, in the mindfulness, it's just that truth just surfaces, you know, truth of whatever you're looking at just surfaces, and you realize, I didn't see it that way before, because I wasn't thinking about it, I wasn't mindful of it. And though that's the importance of the mindfulness, our awareness changes, like Michael said, and that's what changed in those people in how they walked and what their actual presence was saying as they walked. Okay, because remember, we're dealing with energy, and when you're walking, what are you doing? You're moving a lot of energy, okay? And that energy is actually whatever your thoughts and whatever your focus is, okay, whatever you're mindful of. And how many times are you walking around, you're either late, you're running, or sometimes you're just really trying to walk off some frustration or whatever, and realize that's what you're putting out into the environment. And I love it that mindfulness immediately makes me change my reaction, because I realize that reaction is not what I want.
and it isn't what I want to broadcast. And I'm just mindful of that's what I'm looking at it, no matter if I'm trying to hide it or my face doesn't show it or whatever else my energy is. And that's the importance of learning the mindfulness to become who you really are and can be. And that works. Rosemary, over there in Germany, if you haven't gone back to sleep, would you like to add something to this conversation?
Yeah, I had the same note here, becoming more aware of myself, definitely. And I'm saying more because I really feel I'm in the beginning of it. And this is just really mastery. And it's a lifesaver for me, this book. This is really absolutely something. And I had a situation with the car. I love traffic. It seems to bring out everything in us, you know, the good things and the bad things. And I had a situation with traffic, and I don't want to go into details, but I've noticed, I was aware, I actually was aware how my body tensed up. And I noticed how I got out of the car and starting to approach that woman. And I noticed it, and I just took a breath. And then I said, still a little bit upset, but at least I didn't shout. I went to her and I said, you can easily drive by. I can help you to get out of this situation, you know? And I went back to my car and I said, okay, I did it a little bit different than maybe I would have done it, because she was honking and yelling all the time. And I noticed how my stress level got up, and I was really bracing. My body was bracing, and I was able to at least subdue my reaction. So what I'm trying to say is that these practices, the first thing they do, and that was a little surprise for me, and you just said it, they first bring out the truth about myself, you know, where am I doing things? How am I doing things? How is my body reacting? And I thought I would do the practice and I get right away mindful. No. First, I have to look who I am and why I'm reacting. And that's where I'm right now with it.
And in that, I cannot speak for everybody's experience, but at least the people I've talked to about, you begin to like yourself better. You know, your posture changes naturally, and your whole emanation changes because you really start liking yourself, and you become, you know, that you're aware when you're getting ready to be somebody you don't like, and you have a choice right now before the next breath to actually change that. And it's the mindfulness that you learn, because listen, at my age and your age and most people, the adults that would be listening, we have already had a lifetime of what we've made of ourselves. OK, and how it just in through different things. Most of us raised in this particular part of the world and in different countries, we're raised to focus on surviving and being, you know, working hard and doing the right thing and blah, 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 blah. OK. And so we create a reality of ourselves to fit into all of that, because every human being wants to be right. Okay. I don't even care, the worst person in the world, but let's just talk about a serial killer. When you get to really get inside them, there is that seed of wanting to have some connection to the goodness. And unfortunately, life conditions and other things can take it somewhere else. But at the same time, if we are aware, and you begin to learn that your auric egg is a 10-foot circle around you. And if you can just start to actually do this, and I know that the Scientologists call this doing a locational, but when you actually can understand energy in the field good enough to know that everything around you is affecting, has effects right now on you, and you've maybe come to wherever you're at for a reason of performance or an outcome, you have to look around people and see if the environment that you're experiencing right now is supporting that and strengthening it, or you're never going to have the satisfaction of what you think you're there for. And so how you can actually change that in the mindfulness is have little, what I call supporters, little support things. Like I have a crystal and I have a little locket. And the locket is something that I have from my mother. And the memory of my mother, what I get is strength from her. Whenever I have that little locket, I know that I'm working with that and I'm aware of that. And I have what I call a movement bag. And it's a little bag, probably about 3-4 inches long. And it has these things, these particular settings of the mind. And when I realize I'm in an environment that does not have any cooperation at all as to what I like and what makes me stronger, I get rid of that. And I immediately create that by going to my movement bag. And that's exactly what I call it, a movement, because it begins to move the environment to me. And I have found in circumstances to where I walk into somebody else's world and I'm in a place where disaster just happened or whatever, I have to create the bubble. I have to look around me and see what all of that is and go to that no judgment place and actually realize that's the debris or that's the outcome or the whatever. And I can make that a horrible experience for myself and others, or I can bring to that place right now a different outcome, a different effect. All I have to do is focus. And when I'm in mindfulness that I have come here to heal, I have come here to lift the spirit, I have come here to bring joy. Okay, if that has been my statement, then I have to make sure that I'm living that. And my mindfulness tells me, okay, you're looking at this and you're considering judgment, or you've made some, I mean, how do you make beauty out of something that's been broken up and all messed up? You can, I'm telling you, you can. I can look down after I've got myself in focus. I can look down and find something and realize I could make this into a little whatever. Or, you know, look at that. I bet somebody needs that. And then I realize in my environment of 10 feet, I have just made it something different than I walked into. That's mindfulness. And with everyone that's listening to our particular program and actually very good followers to our network, which is the Law of Attraction Network, you're looking for things to make the reality happen that you are working toward. You won't get there without mindfulness. And mindfulness is private and personal. And it's something that you really do. It's not something you exercise and do for somebody else's reason. You really want to know the magnificent being that you are. Again, I'm going to go to the fact that you have a fingerprint in this day and age that says never before. And now remember all of the generations before you. Never before and never after will there be another you, an exact you. And that exactness is your uniqueness. And we are given that for purpose. So we are all a message. We're already in mission. And the only way you can get to that, beloveds, is to be mindful of it, to think it, be mindful of it, and actually witness it in seeing things in your awareness that you didn't see before. Seeing things in your very nature and how you talk to yourself and how your thoughts run that you can change because now you're aware of it. So you can't change it if it's automatic. You can once you become aware of it, and it's easier to do because you realize I don't like that, and I don't like that in me, and I don't want to be that. And so once we get that neuron in place for that, then like I said, these things begin to come automatic. And when then that becomes automatic or the pilot, then you begin to realize you are a different person. I realize that I have learned in my life that wherever I step, I create thunder. What does that mean? That means as soon as I enter a space, people look at me. And I don't care how quiet I'm trying to be. And I have just learned that it's because of what I broadcast. And what I broadcast is how important we are to each other. And I feel a group, not embarrassment or scared. I just feel excitement when I'm going to walk into a room of people I don't know, people I've never met before. And I've realized in my mind since I was a child, I say these little things. I'm on my way to meet new family. And I realize that's a thought that weaves itself through my mind that I never even heard before. Till all of a sudden I become aware of what it is that happens when I know I'm going to walk into a space of people that I have not met yet. And so there are these hidden things about you that you're not letting become the surface. They're laden, they're buried. And then you begin to find this uniqueness that you are. And that uniqueness is a beautiful, precious thing. It is not a dark or an evil thing. It is a beautiful, powerful thing of beauty and love. And you're not polishing it. You're not letting it shine. And in mindfulness, inevitably, it has to shine. And this is the excitement for me with mindfulness, is that just a little bit of practice, and I haven't read anything that sounds hard. I hope you haven't either, but they're the what makes the changes. You're not just this body and the form or the weight of this body. You are a bubble of energy that expands itself from 10 feet. It begins from there. And that you have that influence and you have that ability to make that bubble the most beautiful thing that ever passes through a person's day. And even the plants, the soil, the air, the wind, the rain, the sun, all rejoices in that. That's in you. It isn't something you have to work with and find and get. You do just have to live it. And in living it, you discover how much you really come to love yourself. Not a love that's selfish, not a love that contains or tries to suppress or tries to own and tries to fit it into just their particular program. You want everybody to be happy, and you want everybody to find that part of them that is like no other. And what is beautiful about that is that in discovering that, we fit. Our difference doesn't separate us. It fits. It has a place already. And that oneness that we talk about so often, that really nobody's in touch with, no matter how we're working for it, we're still all moving to discover that as consciousness grows. But that if we can feel some of it now, if we can become aware that it's present, and we begin to continue to reach for it, we will get it and we will touch it. And when we touch it, it will become the persona that we can live, as powerful as we are here and as powerful as the plan of us being here. And that's everyone. That's every child. That's every man, woman. That's every race. That's every color. That's these differences that we're fighting with right now. They are to separate us and make us weak. No. When we find out that uniqueness in all of us, we find out where we fit and how important our position in that is. And there's no separation. That oneness is something that will change the universe, not only the planet. And so mindfulness is the key to that. It's a simple little book and simple little practices that become mountains and oceans. So we want to share that with you even more. Okay, is there any other co-hosts that want to share some things? I get started off and I think I lose you all. So where are you at? Somebody else?
This is Trina. And I, all the things that you said, I mean, it just so touched my heart. And I was thinking through some of them with, you know, the laughter. It's like they now have laugh yoga.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about the positioning of the body. There's a whole science about body language. It's amazing. But for me, the movement was the piece where I recognized in myself, mindfully recognizing that just to stand and open my arms wide felt so strange to me, where it felt more normal to curl up in a little ball. And I kept thinking, but I'm bigger than that, you know? And so dance, that body movement and getting in touch with the body and really feeling the body. The one that always came back to me was Julie Andrews standing on top of the mountaintop and the sound of music and just singing and twirling. And it brought in so much joy and delight just to watch her do that. And so what I do is I just put on music and I close my eyes and I listen to whatever the sounds are and just let my body respond to that. And I do that with the children too. We just call it kind of like crazy dancing. And you just start really quiet, close your eyes, listen to it, and just let your body go. And it's so enlightening, you know? It's just, it is mindfulness. It is a mindfulness practice. And it really is reaching that place of delight. Delight in yourself and in life. And, you know, that movement for me was one of the best exercises. So I really do hope people get in touch with that in the book.
I do too. And then listen, how many times I still do this. I was doing this as a young woman. When I saw that movie, I realized I was already doing that and how much I loved it. And it just emphasized how much more I wanted to do it. I love getting on a high place and just looking out across the terrain that you can see and just start whirling and singing. I don't even need the music. I can make my own song. You know what I mean? And it just, you just sing it to the loudest point you can to want the world to hear it. You know what I mean? And these are the things that change what's going on. So I'm happy to hear you share that. And I'm very happy. Of course, you're doing that with the grandbabies. Of course you are. Yes. Okay. We have time for one more person to share. Anybody got any particulars you want to add on to all of this?
I have. This is Joyce. I'd love to share one of the insights I got today. I realized with being using these mindfulness practices, it eliminates any of those gaps that used to be filled with negative thoughts and destructive thoughts and I can't do or whatever's. If by staying in the mindfulness practices, I know eventually those gaps don't even have to exist or I'll catch them very quickly. So I rejoice in that.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, we're going to have to close up our program at this point. We look forward to you joining us again next week in our little book called Mindfulness, and be very mindful of the time so that you're on time and share your time with us. Have a great week. Osio.
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 Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.